Recording,
everybody. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Lifestyle. Where we finally dive into some non-bachelor topics that Justine and I are passionate about.
Yep.
Where do we begin?
Yeah, this week is a special one, guys. We had some other really, like, fun stuff planned, you know? But that is not, in good faith, we can't put that out. Say that. There is an element of escapism and distraction that I think our podcast has that I really love for you guys. But we can't be distracted right now. There is no way to be distracted from what's going on currently. There's a helicopter going over my house right now.
Literally just heard a siren go by. Yep. Like, and that could be for so many things.
So many things.
That could be for, I mean, it used to be just Corona. Yeah. Now the whole world's in turmoil. Yep. So who the fuck knows?
Yep. So today we are addressing some of our thoughts and feelings behind the protests, riots, violence, police brutality, how black people are being treated in this country, white privilege, just kind of a mishmash and event session that I hope our white listeners will come away with some tangible things to do after this. And I hope that our black listeners, that you guys can commiserate with us and we can be sort of your people to relate to in this time. Because some of you guys I know live in some tough areas. You work in some tough places. And even when it's online, it still can be hard. So, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Well,
start there.
I was so excited to do our regular lifestyle episode this week, and after this, once again, my emotions are in complete shambles to the point of where they have reached my throat and I can't go any further. I have not cried, I haven't exclaimed in anger, nothing. It's just I'm up to here and just there's no more left. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. And just trying to go down YouTube rabbit holes. I'm trying to escape it, And there's no way. I can't.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, right there with you. I feel like exhaustion. Well, I can't even talk. Exhaustion. Is the word of the moment. Just angry, of course, sad. Feeling very hopeless, like, I don't know, it's just like the same general sentiments of most of Black America right now. Just exhausted, and I've been feeling a little bit guilty lately also. So I've been in just like hyper self-care protective mode and have like severely limited my social media usage this week. I generally don't really watch the news. I'm like a typical millennial who, like, I get my news from Twitter. Like, I read a lot of, like, The Atlantic, like, long-form pieces. My family group chat, we send stuff all day. So, like, that's where I, you know, gather information. But I've been just, like, avoiding everything. Because, I mean, you open up Twitter, you open up Instagram, and it's just trauma. It's videos that I don't want to watch. Just violence of Black men being murdered and then protesters being tear gassed. Like, I don't want to consume that right now. That's literally my whole timeline because of the things that I follow. Even my sister yesterday sent a video in our family group chat of, like, this car plowing through a field. And I was like, Jess, I don't know. Like, I've seen that so many times. Watch this right now. No, don't send me these things. Get me out of here. So yeah, I've just been really limiting my intake because it's like you watch one and then you're down a rabbit hole and then you start to read comments from racists and then you just get angry and like, I'm angry enough. I can't engage in that emotion any further. So I've just like, I've just turned off. Like, I just need to protect my mental health. And so as a result, I feel kind of guilty because I'm doing exactly what white people do all the time.
Yes.
exactly yeah. what they do all the time, yeah, which is right. choose to ignore mm-hmm. what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like the world's on fire, yeah. and they choose to ignore it in order to protect their like rosy bubble of rainbows and sunshine.
Right, right.
And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And like there were protests in Harlem, not very far from my apartment yesterday. Yeah. You know, there's people on the front lines, mm-hmm. people out there, like, engaging in dialogue, signing petitions, like, trying to do whatever work they can right now. Mm-hmm. And I've just exited stage left. Mm-hmm. I've shut off. I feel, like, I have this guilt and feeling like I'm not doing enough, but also I'm so hopeless and exhausted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to move.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
So.
Well, I think you shouldn't feel guilty for two reasons. I think the first reason is that you're doing the work right now. I think this episode is the work mm-hmm. and the, you know, we love a protest. We protested for one of Natasha's birthdays. We love a protest over here. Two Black Girls, One Rose. But when you have a creative platform that reaches a fair amount of people, I think it is the duty and job of those owners of those creatives to get the message out, and that's what we're doing. Yeah. So I think you shouldn't feel bad for going out and walking and protesting as well.
Yeah.
Because this is the work too. True. Also, yeah. Also, you gotta protect the sauce. Yeah, that is you feeling guilty about not absorbing videos of people who look like you being murdered is a lot better than just going down the rabbit hole and doing nothing. You are actively protecting yourself.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That within itself is an action.
Is an action.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's very true. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, for Black people, Black and Brown people right now, like, with this feeling of exhaustion is because it's not even just this is happening right now, mm-hmm. like re-engage with race or racism or something mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah.
Now it's just kind of like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And so every day on the normal day, we're not really protecting ourselves. We're kind of just like right. living through it.
Yeah. Right.
So now it's like it's at the pinnacle. So now I'm like, all right, I need like full blown protection mode. Mm-hmm. And you're right. As you said, like the act of protecting with is me taking an act against myself and protecting my Black ass self right
yes.
now.
Yes. Yes. So I have three little bullet points. I don't know if you put yours into like little buckets.
I don't know what my stuff is. Like. I just got a soapbox of thoughts. So okay. Let's start with your organized collection.
Okay.
Then I can jump off from that.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. So my mm-hmm. first point to make is about Black culture, because what is truly disturbing to me is how little Black humanity is valued and how highly Black culture is valued. That has mm-hmm. always been very disturbing to me. I've spoken mm-hmm. about it on the podcast before, especially when it came even to Lauren and Cameron, about people being like, I want my Cameron to come through and rap for my mom. That's not, like, yes. he shouldn't be validated through that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
care if you can rap, especially if you're bad at it. And if you in any way validate how cool you are or how unique your music taste is, or you're using Black music and Black choreography to pick the next fucking TikTok challenge that you're going to take, then you mm-hmm. need to stand up for the people who are dying. Mm-hmm. And that includes the Black people in your life, and that includes the Black people in your life who are not on your payroll. That includes everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So for mm-hmm. all of the white people listening, that is what you have to stand up for. If you cried because Kobe Bryant died, you need to be doing something right now.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You know? Yeah, that I was just having this conversation the other night with Kelly, Nate. Yeah. I'm just naming people y'all don't know, but we had a whole in-depth conversation about Blackness, Black women, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And just this conversation around, like, how much Black people are hated in this country mm-hmm. and unprotected, yet our culture is just eaten up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything about, they love us.
Love it.
Yet fucking hate our guts at the same time.
Yep.
It's a very bizarre, very yeah. bizarre space to be in. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can't win.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the workplace. Because this is the toughest part for me. Yeah. You guys know that I currently still have a 9-to-5 job. I currently still have a 9-to-5 job with a lot of people who did what I just said, which is validate how cool they are through Black culture. They do a lot of, oh, my favorite is this. Oh, my favorite is Travis Scott. My favorite is Dave. My favorite is this one. Oh, I love fucking Kehlani or whoever the fuck else. And they won't stand up for Black people at a time like this. I am so thankful for myself and all of the other Black people who work in an office that we don't have to go to the office right now.
Amen.
Because that is the worst. Because you know that those white people would either be saying what you would, their your worst nightmare of what they would say, or not saying shit and not checking on you. And you have to sit there and act like nothing is happening for 8 hours. And that's entirely too long. And now at least you can log off of your Zoom for a half an hour and get yourself together and do whatever you need to do. But you don't have to speak to those people and look them in the face. And for me, myself, I don't really give a fuck about your little summer reading list. So if right now you logged on and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to read White Fragility, I don't give a flying fuck if you're not standing up for the white people or the Black people that you work with. I don't care. I don't care about your little Amazon list. Oh, I'm reading this and that. I got the history of this and that. I don't care about none of that if you're not doing anything. Because you could have done something in February. You could have done something in January when people were up for raises and you didn't. Or maybe you did. Hopefully you did. But if you didn't, now you know. Stand up for the Black people at your workplace because they're getting paid less than you and they're working harder than you.
Yeah. It's little moments where you can show up for them.
Yep.
And to your point about this, is this topic in particular, Black people going to work during times of like intense trauma like this. I just read an article about it. A bunch of people were posting on my Facebook. I think the title of the article was like, "No, your Black coworkers are not okay."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a thing that I don't know if all white people really realize. Like times like this, as you said, being now home, working from home, thank God for that. Because moments before Eric Garner and which happened in New York City, we live in New York.
Yeah.
Going to work around that time and having to just literally pretend like nothing, like everything is okay. I remember me and my Black coworkers, we would like congregate like at lunchtime, like together.
Yeah.
In like community because we were fucking like, why are we here? Like I'm at work and I wanna cry.
Yeah.
I have to go counsel a student right now and I don't want to be here. Like I can't. And you're walking through the office and it's like it's like you're in Neverland. You're in a different space because you're in one space in your head and in your mind and in your heart, but then you're in a space where everyone else is kind of like living in this other planet, not acknowledging the intense trauma that's happening for you and your community right now.
Right.
So no, your Black coworkers are not okay. If your homegirl's late with something this week, give her a slide because she's going through fucking a lot. Okay. And as you said, this is the perfect time that, I mean, thank God this corona, well, not thank God, I keep saying it. Thank God corona's happening, but one of the benefits of being working from home is that we can self-care at our own, in our own space, in our own pace right now, which we don't really have when you have to go into the office. But even still, it's hard because still now we have to show up for Zoom meetings and put on a happy face. Like, I wasn't just blotting my eyes off, wiping away tears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
yeah.
To your point, show up for your coworkers, even if it's just to, I don't even know, even if it's just to carefully acknowledge the world and what's happening. Let's not pretend like the like our country's not in complete shambles and being overrun by fucking racists right now.
Right.
Like, even just calling that out. I think is even useful and helpful. It's rather than me sitting in silence in a meeting and feeling like no one gives a shit.
Right. Yeah. And then to your point, even if you don't know how to say something, you can start with that. I don't know how to address this. I just know you're probably not okay. How can I help? That's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Cause I think that's, people feel anxious. They don't know what to say.
Right. Right.
Say that. I don't know what to say.
Yep.
but I feel like I should acknowledge what's happening and that I'm hurting too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also outraged.
Yeah.
Something, mm-hmm. some acknowledgement.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really important to know, because some people may not even know why Black people can't speak up mm-hmm. at times like this. And I think it's important to note that Black people in your office feel like they can't speak up because if they do, their job is on the line.
It's a fear factor for sure.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. if you say something, that people will put you into a category and slowly but surely they're just going to start ticking boxes off and then fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mm-hmm. only know that from experience, number one. And then number mm-hmm. two, you can see it in legislature. It was only in 2017 that you could wear your hair natural to work and nobody could legally fire you for it.
Yeah.
That was mm-hmm. 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was just hair. Nobody said anything. It was mm-hmm. just hair.
Just the hair. Just your presence. Hair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just the presence of what is naturally growing out of your head was so disturbing to people until 2017 that they made it mm-hmm. a law that you couldn't fire anyone. So that is why people at your workplace, that's why you have to go up to them and ask them the question.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they will not come to you. I think that's really yeah. important to say for people who may not know how to broach the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whew. Wow. And then number three, we're tired.
Exhausted.
Me and Natasha have been dolo in the Bachelor Nation sphere for mm-hmm. 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have Rachel Lindsay up there sobbing because racist people literally hunt her down and call her obscene names.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going after people who look like her on other seasons. And women were feeling so battered that they have to have her up there. Mm-hmm. But they still didn't help her because she was still up there. And like
alone, not a crew behind her. She's still the one and only.
Yep. And they could have had anyone else get up there and do it, but they didn't. And that is very, very tiring. Mm-hmm. And I need people like the Hannah Browns who gave an 18-minute apology that I don't give a flying fuck about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have 2.5 million followers and Rachel is still not left at a million. Left.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
didn't you do an IG split screen with her? What are mm-hmm. you doing? Like, you need to help her get a check. That is the way to help. I don't
That's
care.
Showing up.
That is showing up. I don't care. You follow Black Lives Movement. I don't care. Ugh. So we need you to step up in the everyday world and stop just saying it at the times, like you said, when it's not even a pinnacle, it's just a peak, because these same protests have been happening since the slavery.
The dawn of time.
So, like,
since God made light.
Yeah.
Like, or whatever that phrase from Exodus. You know what I mean? Genesis.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this isn't something where you can just talk to your friends and family. I would be so excited if you did such a thing, but you have to step up for your Black counterparts in a way where you're showing them in the little ways that you care. Mm-hmm. Because you could have and should have shown up before this.
Yes. Yeah. Don't wait until this big moment
mm-hmm.
for now. Oh, let me do something. Let me post something real quick on Instagram.
Yeah,
right. No, where were you this entire lead up? the everyday that we deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's also important to know that everyday struggle. Like, coronavirus has created a fear within us as a human race of people.
Mm-hmm.
And Natasha and I talked about this. How men are reacting to this is so bizarre because they're acting like there's a zombie apocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Black women, at least that I know and that you know, aren't acting nearly as crazy
mm-hmm.
because fear is just dormant inside of us every time we leave the house.
Pervasive, yeah.
Every time. And mm-hmm. so living with that type of fear and knowing that we're up for grabs for anybody is very, very exhausting. Because I want to explain, there's so many things like very, very short words, like, we're tired, we can't do this, but I want to be able to explain to our white listeners who maybe aren't around Black people or don't feel comfortable exactly why that's happening. Mm. And it's very exhausting to be the people, for us specifically in this Bachelor Nation community, to constantly have my phone ringing off of people saying, well, he's just not into Black girls. Because I'm sure those girls had nails, hair extensions, lip injections, all the thing that is cool back in 2013, mm-hmm. all the things that made Black women ghetto and unkempt until recently, possibly mm-hmm. until J-Lo and the Kardashians. And mm-hmm. it's very clear that Black women are the problem here in Bachelor Nation. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make that clear, and I hope that you guys receive this and are able to take this away with a tool in your belt to actually do something instead of just mm-hmm. the normal talk to your friends and family. We're tired. Da-da-da-da. Like, here's why. Here's the why. Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten that from anyone else on your feed.
Yeah.
Whew. And that's it. That's what I got. Friend. Thank you. Thank you.
came together well.
Thank you.
I know. Gathering thoughts around something like this is just, like, not easy.
No.
Where the fuck do I begin?
Mm-mm. So, yeah, so where the fuck do you begin? Let's see.
So I have a lot to say. It might not come off as kosher, but I don't give a shit right now. I'm going to talk a lot about, actually, the importance of talking with friends and family and how helpful that actually is. So, yeah, I do have a little bit of a soapbox to get on.
Get on.
I made one little Instagram post yesterday on, like, my, like, regular page,
mm-hmm.
Which summed up most of my feelings right now, which is very much directed towards white liberals
mm-hmm.
and how this is your moment to shine.
Yes.
If you wanted a moment, here you got one. And I know when I say that, I'm talking to a huge chunk of our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just hear me out. I mean, we can't say enough. We're tired.
Yeah.
We've been marching and complaining about the same shit for decades. Mm-hmm. I'm literally exhausted of even having this conversation. Justine knows going into this podcast, I was, like, not mm-hmm. trying to do this episode, but, like, we can't ignore what's happening in the world right now. But, yeah, I'm just so angry. Like, Eric Garner was not that long ago, mm-hmm. and now we have George Floyd. Literally almost the exact same thing just happened.
Yeah.
And it's like freaking Groundhog Day for us. Mm-hmm. There's no end in sight, and we feel like we're fighting this unwinnable battle alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're barking at the same wall. We're talking to the same deaf ears. Mm-hmm. No one is listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
They've been lynching people in this country since the dawn of time. Yeah. It's now 2020, post a Black president. So mm-hmm. you would think also lots of things. We're in a post-racial America, whatever. Now it's just legalized. Our police system is just fucking murdering people just in plain sight and can get away with it.
Yeah.
And we've all been watching this.
Mm-hmm.
We all see this happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that more people aren't in complete outrage mm-hmm. in the way that we are is very disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that lets us know that, like, wow, Black lives really do not matter to most people in this country.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, with white liberals, this is your time to step up. Black people we're going insane at this point.
Yeah.
What's the definition of insanity? You're doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results. We're going insane.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing the same shit for generations mm-hmm. and we're not being listened to. And it's chances, like, now for you, mm-hmm. white liberals,
mm-hmm.
to step the fuck up, because chances are you have not been doing enough.
Yeah.
And I say that very unapologetically, because I intentionally want white liberals to feel guilty.
Yes.
Guilty enough that hopefully it springs you into action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because to, you know, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, colleagues, you know, we hear the same complaints right now, like the protesters, people calling them rioters,
mm-hmm.
calling them thugs. You know, why are they burning down their city? What sense is that?
Mm.
Why are they looting? What good does that do? Like, that's your chance to engage them in a dialogue around police brutality. Change the narrative, because their head is focused on the wrong fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Change the narrative. Engage in a dialogue with them around the continued murdering of innocent Black people at the hands of our cops.
Right.
The hurt and pain of Black people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The constant injustice. The reasons behind why people are running in the streets, burning shit down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talk about that. Have that difficult conversation. It's time to get uncomfortable. Black people are tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that this system has perpetuated this long because white liberals in particular are not doing nearly enough as they could to bring equality to this country.
Yep, yep.
Just as Republicans and conservative white people shy away about talking about race and racism, mm-hmm. so too do white liberals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not engaging with their racist and prejudiced moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
But come election day, they'll slowly, you know, they'll slyly go into that booth and click Democrat and walk out feeling all good about themselves and tell everybody they voted for Obama again and know that in their heart they're on the right side of history. But as you said before, in the interim, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah. Ask yourself, what can I do? What can I actively do to help fight white supremacy and racial injustice in this country?
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe a huge part of that is engaging in meaningful and uncomfortable conversations around race with your family and friends.
Yeah.
Period. Call it out. This country was founded on the massacre of indigenous people.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yep.
And then was built by Africans stolen from their homelands.
Yeah.
And now, Mom, in 2020, Black people are being murdered in the streets by the police at astonishing rates. Mom, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Because as uncomfortable as you feel talking to your mom, that's how Black people feel all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. Call it out. Talk about it. That is the problem in this country. Mm-hmm. White people do not want to talk about race.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about slavery. They don't want to face police brutality. They don't want to have none of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's our issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's on us.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Black woman, I don't have access to the racist aunts and uncles and people that y'all have in your lives.
Right, right.
For one. And then secondly, as a Black person, I don't have the energy to sit and have a conversation with your racist aunt or my racist coworker.
Mm-mm.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
It just is. Yeah.
It just is. Mm-hmm. That is your job. You have the access. And now it's time for you to hop to it and start having those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's ridiculous that this shit is still happening and people are still, it's like I'm turning on the little bit of news I watch on CNN, the same narratives they do every time.
Every time. The rioters,
the looters, it's the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still being referred to like this? Why aren't we having a real ass conversation about race?
Yeah.
And behind the reasons why these people are protesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, being an ally is more than retweeting, is more than Instagram storying. For me, it's when you call home and your mom asks you or your uncle asks you, oh, hey, how's it going? How's it going? You flat out say, I mean, I'm watching these protests in Minneapolis and around the country. Shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the way that Black people are treated by the police in this country is very enraging.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, let's talk about it. I really want to have a conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
Engage her ass in a conversation. Talk about race and racism in this country among yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have left Black people on the front lines for us to fend for ourselves. And it's not working.
No, it's not.
It's not working.
Yeah.
And y'all have gotten away for far too long sitting pretty, calling yourself liberal, wearing your little Obama pin, sharing your little Atlantic Ta-Nehisi Coates article every now and then on Facebook. It's not enough.
It's not.
We need y'all on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see your face on CNN when they're saying, oh, the protesters in insert name of city, and it's a full front line full of white people.
Right.
To show that y'all are just as enraged as we are.
Yeah.
Because our rage does not do anything.
No. Mm-mm. No. We have a voice. It's just not heard.
It's just not heard.
Yeah. Great point, friend, because as much as we have to truly honor and give space to George Floyd, the way that he was murdered, the police brutality behind it, I ain't done with Amy Cooper.
Oh, God.
I ain't done. I ain't done with you. You were a donor to Obama. You were a donor to Hillary, huge Hillary supporter. And then you get in front of a bird watcher and you're threatened by him coming to you in the middle of the day when you have a dog?
Right.
Girl, are you fucking crazy? Oh my God. It's the Amy Coopers in your life that y'all gotta talk to. Y'all gotta talk to them because that's.
Yeah. Period.
I can't.
We don't have access to those people. No. We access them when we're in the middle of Central Park trying to watch a fucking bird. And that's when we have an interaction with her.
Yes.
But on the interim, you have access to her.
Yep.
You need to start sitting down. You, as in white liberals, need to start sitting down and engaging in these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Stop running away from it.
Yep.
Stop reposting shit on Instagram and thinking that's enough. You're barking to your crowd of other white liberals. Talk to your mama and your auntie and that racist coworker that y'all and your other coworkers talk about. Engage with them and have a real fucking meaningful, uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Because we need to start recruiting more people that look like y'all onto our team so we can actually get some shit done.
Yeah. Because that's how the system's built.
That's how that's built.
Yeah.
I mean, the little bit I looked on Twitter, I think my sister, I think, sent me a picture. I don't remember what city it was, but for me, it was inspiring. It was protesters. They were like all banded together.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the eye can see, it was all white people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, this is what we need to be seeing.
Yes.
That should be the face of this movement right now.
Yep.
Because our face has not been working.
Mm-mm. No.
Y'all need to be on the front lines.
And once a white person gets accidentally murdered, that's when people are going to start going crazy. That's when people are going to start going nuts, if that even happens, which it won't, but you know.
Which it won't. But I tell you, if these damn cops was out here murdering dogs in the way that they murder black people, these white people would be up in arms marching and protesting and signing petitions left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. As much as they fucking love dogs, you would think they would do the same for us, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my full message. I'm not even talking to the racists in the country. I'm talking specifically to the white liberals who I feel like are just not doing enough.
Yeah.
Why am I still the face of this movement that's not working?
Right.
Where are y'all at?
Right.
Voting Democrat on the big election day doesn't help me in any way, shape, or form.
No. Especially the big election day. You got to be voting in your town. You got to be voting for your city council. You got to be voting for mayor. You got to show up for them little tiny town meetings where they're trying to shut down all the black businesses in your borough.
That's when you show up. It's in the interim, not the big moment.
No.
It's in the interim.
Yes. Yes. So if you want to pocket this episode, save it, remind yourself a month from now, because that's how long the news cycle is. Then great. But like you said, it is very encouraging to see an extremely diverse protester crowd this time around. Because I remember when it was Mike Brown, it was all black people getting murdered and arrested and beaten left and right. And I still can't even look at Mike Brown's face. I still get upset and choked up about it. Anyway, that was all I got.
So yeah. That's where I'm at.
Yep. Okay, great. Great.
Hope you learned something.
Hope so. Hope so. If you are having, if you don't know where to go from here, follow the Black Lives Matter movement, follow Grassroots. There's plenty of places where you can get some resources that are free. You don't have to necessarily donate. If you can donate, please do. And yeah, that's all we got. That's all we got for this week, guys.
But I hope this, sorry, I know you're closing.
Yes,
out,
no, yes.
I just hope this episode for, I mean, this is very much directed towards our white listeners because there is a lot of talk like, what can I do? You know, I want to self-educate, whatever, reading the books and all that stuff. All that's so helpful. White Fragility, great book, all that jazz. But there are active things that you can be doing that don't involve protesting.
Yes, yes, right.
I think that's, people feel like I should be out there. I should be on the front lines doing the protest. There's other ways.
Yeah.
You have conversations with your families and friends, your interactions with them, colleagues all day. Engage in a conversation.
Yeah.
That could be your action against white supremacy for the week.
Yeah, yes. And it helps. It does mm-hmm. help. It's not it does. Lost. So
no. So yeah, that's it.
That's it. Thanks guys for listening.
Next week I might be in a better mood.
Yeah, next in the next 2 weeks, hopefully we'll have the mental and emotional capacity to do something a little more fun.
Yes, hopefully.
But this time we couldn't.
Yeah,
couldn't
no.
do it.
But yeah, stay safe out there, y'all.
Yep.
To all my Black people, think about you, love you.
Yes, take care of yourself, please. Do some. Mm-hmm. I did 30 seconds of meditating today and almost cried. It almost got there. Those deep breaths, those introspective thoughts. They help mm-hmm. for everybody. They really help for Black people right now. So please, go ahead and do it.
Exactly. All right, guys. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Stop recording.